Good morning. It's kind of it's a weird Sunday, New Year's Eve. Do you do like a retrospect of the year we just had, or do you look forward to what's to come? And I've got a really bad memory, so we're going to look forward, I guess, so to what's to come, maybe. Appreciate all the prayers for Missy. She's a much better caregiver than I am, but I think I'm a better patient. I have more experience at it, though, right? So, welcome this morning. We could do a sermon on all the things that maybe we could start doing for the new year, and there's some good to that. I always think maybe trying to read through the Bible. That's my goal every year is I want to get through the Bible every year, but a lot of times I'll get stuck on three or four verses that I had missed somehow the reading the Bible before. And so you kind of get bogged down, and maybe I don't get all the way through every year, but I feel like I should. So anyway, happy New Year's. There's a lot of things that are going to go on, especially for tonight. People like Zach and Quentin maybe get a little excited about tonight. It's a night when a lot of bad things can happen. People that start out with some good intentions might not last very long, and they may end up doing things that they wish they hadn't. But I hope our New Year's goes a little bit better, even better than a guy you might have heard of. And his name was Roy Riegels. And Roy Riegels, maybe nobody's heard of this guy. He played in the 1929 Rose Bowl for UCLA, and they were playing Georgia Tech. And it was a pretty good game by all accounts. And again, Roy Riegels was on the field. He recovered a fumble for UCLA. And Roy Riegels, he picked up the fumble and he took it 65 yards towards his own goal line, right? Backwards. Not ideal. And one of his teammates chased him all the way down, trying to convince him to stop. But by the time that he finally convinced him, the Georgia Tech players were on top of him, tackling him just before he made it into the goal line, into his own end zone. And so what ended up happening there is three downs later, they had to punt. And Georgia Tech blocked the punt. It went out of the back of the end zone for a safety. Now, this was all in the first half. But Georgia Tech did win the game by a point. And a safety's worth what? Two? So we could figure all that out. That was all in the first half for Roy Riegels. And by that time, he was given the name Wrong Way Riegels. And that's what anybody remembered from him for the rest of his time. Nobody remembered that he was actually a pretty good football player. It was at halftime at that game that his coach had to convince him to go back out there. Roy said, "I've totally failed this team, myself. I failed these fans. How can I go out and look at these people?" And maybe we've all kind of felt that way in some ways, going 65 yards in the wrong way. It's even easier in basketball, right? The start of the game, if you kind of get a little goofy, the jump ball, you may immediately run in the wrong direction that you should. Or you're one of those post players and you get excited and that ball just comes right into your hands and you know you ought to pass it to the guard because you're on your end. But man, those points are right there. So you shoot at your own goal and you make 2 points for the other team. And you hope your coach looks at you and says, "That's good, now go try it on our end." That has never happened to me. But I have said that to a kid or two. But you know, nobody remembers the 99% of the time that you play like you should. But everybody always remembers Wrong Way Riegels, right? Again, now Riegels went on and played the second half, and some said maybe the best half that he ever played. But nobody remembers that. So again, I hope our New Year's is going a little bit better than his first half did. We have all of these great intentions, these great goals for the year that maybe we're looking forward to. All of these things that we want to do, and there's probably somebody in this room might even be talking to you right now that might have already failed in what they were planning on doing tomorrow. But I guess it doesn't count yet, right, until tomorrow, so it's still okay. But I think that's why I kind of like these New Year's resolutions. We got to have a bunch of grace for ourselves to remember that we can only do so much and to kind of take things one day at a time. Maybe we've bit off more than we can chew, or maybe we're just on the wrong path to begin with. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. It is the path that we're on, the path that we chose to take. Because again, one of us or all of us are on a path, whether we've chosen it or not. You may feel that your path has been forced upon you. But if you remain in it, or you feel like, well, I'm not on any path at all. Again, I'm here to break bad news, because that too is a path that you've chosen to be on. And we'll talk about that path and why it's important. I heard a sermon from a minister in Atlanta, and he noted that a lot of people are directionally challenged. Now he didn't mean like if I wanted to go to Grove, would I turn left or right out of the parking lot? That's not exactly what he means, because there are people, right, that just sort of know. You can say which direction is north. And I don't know how they know. I'm not one of those people. But whatever, magnetically, they just know directions. You could blindfold them or whatever. They know it. Not talking really about those people, or the people that you could paint it on the street and they still wouldn't believe that they were going in the right direction. We're talking more about spiritually directionally challenged people. And I think that he's got a lot of good points. There are a lot of people who don't know where they're going, that they don't have a goal. They wander through life sort of hoping and expecting something good to happen along the way. And they probably have goals at work, and they probably have goals with their family, but when it comes to things like the matters for eternity, a lot of people just sort of hope that all works out. And they sort of say, well, if there is a higher plan and there is a higher being out there, hopefully he's on my side. Hopefully he's not working against me. And at best, I hope he just stays out of my way. And that's how a lot of people will walk through life. They don't have a goal or a plan. They don't think that they're on any particular path. But again, I assure you, that they are on a path, and that isn't a wise path to be on. Now, we know as people who show up to church on a Sunday morning that we've decided that there's a path that we need to be on. We need to understand that there is a path that is wise, that if we're going to talk about that wise path, I think we should look at the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs, Solomon writes a lot of wise stuff, right? He's writing mostly to his children, passing on to the next generation wisdom that he's gained. And really, there's some parts that's not just Solomon. There's some other writers that write in the book of Proverbs as well that are passing on this wisdom for life. Sort of like saying, here's a path forward. That's what the book of Proverbs is saying. There's a lot of people that will tell you what is important, but here's the path. Here's what you need to be looking for along the path of life. In chapter 7 of Proverbs, we get a picture of someone who is directionally challenged. Solomon is kind of pictured in his house, and he's looking out on the street at some other people that he doesn't know where they're going. It doesn't seem like they know where they're going. And so in Proverbs 7, beginning in verse 6, Solomon says, For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing the street near her corner, taking the road to her house. Now, other translations kind of give us some more details. The NLT says that a young man who lacked wisdom, he was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman. So the picture we get here is this boy who's just walking along the road. Maybe he doesn't have any idea where he's going. He's just out for a stroll or a walk, no specific directions. And he's wandering along the road at twilight. and it's getting dark, and maybe he's just killing time, and maybe he's just been taking in the sights of the city before it turns dark. But the idea that Solomon is giving us here is that this young man has nothing really better to do with this time. He's apparently in the wrong part of town at the wrong part at the wrong time of day, and now he's found really the wrong kind of woman. Now, a few years ago, when Missy and Merrick and I, we went to New Orleans, we stayed at a decent Best Western hotel there near the French Quarter. And Merrick and I, we had walked to the Superdome during daylight. And then when their event was over, it was pretty dark. But luckily, I was there, right? I had a good sense of idea of where the hotel was. And so we went in that direction. But the streets started getting a little narrower, and the streetlights got a little further apart, and the people we started seeing didn't look like they had came from the same place from which we had just came. And so I grabbed my phone and I said, "Hey Siri, how do I get to the Best Western?" And she got me there. You know, she got us there, and that's sort of the end of the story. But there are times when you think you know where you're going that you end up in a wrong destination. Here again, this young man is in the wrong part of town. It's at the wrong time of day, and he's meeting the wrong kind of woman. She comes out to meet him. No doubt she's attractive. She's interested in him, and in turn, he's interested in her. And they begin to talk, and she makes him feel good about himself. And as time goes on, this young man has nothing better to do, and he ends up staying the night with this woman. He spends time with an adulterous woman, thus in turn making him what? An adulterous man, right? And verses 22 and 23 of Proverbs 7 say, "All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life." In other words, Solomon is saying that if this guy makes it out of this situation alive, he's going to seriously regret this decision that he's made this night. But how did he end up here? How did he end up in this dangerous arrangement? How did he end up at this destination? What path was he on? Did it just happen to him? Solomon tells us that this young man lacked judgment. That the reason that he ended up where he was because he chose a path of non-judgment. He was directionally challenged. So Proverbs 7 is really a lesson that Solomon is giving his children. He's telling them a story to drive home some insight into how they should live. So some insight that I think we should be mindful of, especially if we're going to start a new year with all of these new hopes and expectations. So what lesson does Solomon have in mind? Why does he tell us about this foolish boy that's walking down the street that's been distracted by a harlot? Well, I think because he wanted his children to know and to understand the value in knowing where they are going. That there is a value in knowing where the destination is, right? That's something that all of us should know. You remember last year when Southwest Airlines had that big debacle, like their navigation, their computer systems went down? That's like one of the things you want to know, right? Like you want to know your plane is going to go to the place that you plan on going. Well, wouldn't be a good thing to go to think you were heading to Florida and end up in Montana. So again, Solomon here is picturing this boy who's been seduced by a lady with maybe loose morals, and he paints this picture of someone who doesn't really seem to care where he's going. He doesn't care about the path he's on. He doesn't care about what time it is or the place it is. He's just there for the ride, right? And it becomes a problem. But Solomon, he contrasts that story with another story in chapter 8, a story of a place that you should seek out, right? Someone that you should want to be with. And so he says in chapter 8, as was read earlier, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The foolish man wanders around in places that he doesn't belong, in places that he shouldn't be, without any specific direction or objective in life. By contrast, here, the wise man, the one seeking wisdom, has a very specific destination. Wisdom has a place that's at the crossroads of town, and it's calling out to everyone. It's pretty obvious, right, where wisdom is. Wisdom is calling out to everybody. Here I am, right? I'm right here. You guys all come to me. So the wise man has a very specific path, a very specific plan, and he doesn't end up stumbling into the harlot's bedroom just because it was there. He pursues a different kind of woman, a different destination. He has a direction that he wants to go. His path is clear and it's set. And in some of us, you may have heard this before, but there's this idea out there called the path principle. And the path principle is pretty simple. It just says this: the direction you are going or the path that you are on determines the direction or the destination that you're going to arrive at. And that's a pretty simple concept. The path you're on determines the destination you're going to arrive at. So just sort of, we go back to the Grove story. If we want to go to Grove and we go out here to the road, we're going to turn left, right? We're going to go north, and eventually we're going to get to Grove. But let's say we don't do that. Let's say we go right out of the parking lot and continue going. When are we going to get to Grove? It's going to be a while, right? I don't even know. Well, we're never going to get to Grove if we turn right out of the parking lot, right? That's the wrong path. Now, all I could do is I could turn around and start heading north, and I would be back on the right path. It's sort of maybe like Yogi Berra once said, you've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, but because you might not get there. That's pretty good logic. Too many of us, sometimes don't know where we're going. And it's sort of like, again, this young man in the book of Proverbs. Just no idea, aimlessly going around with no specific destination in their lives. And so one day that they're going to end up in some place and wonder how they got there. They'll look back at their life and ask, how in the world did I get in this predicament? How did I get right here in this place? And I can't tell you how many times that people have came up to me and said those very words. Or how many times I may have came to you and said those words to you about me. But the truth is I typically do know how I got to that spot. And the reason is a lot of us, why we end up in that spot is because we chose the wrong path. The destination is a product of the choices of the path that we decide to walk on. Solomon says that's not a good idea to live that way. He makes it very clear that the way to truly live is to not live aimlessly, to have a destination, know where you're going and do what it takes to get there. So what kind of destination should we choose? Well, we're here in the church building this morning, right? So the obvious answer is heaven, right? That's what we want to do. But I think we need to be even more specific than that, because we need to understand that heaven's not just a destination that we're going to get to someday when we die. Heaven should be a lifestyle that we live right here today, in the present. So it's both a destination and a path that we need to choose. And here's the thing. If you're here this morning, I think that's what you're shooting for. If you're coming to worship God I think that's a good sign that you're aiming for something, whether that's the way that you would articulate or not. But here's the nice thing. Again, if you're searching for God to give you an answer, God is willing to give you even more than that. God is willing to give you signposts along the way. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship. I like there's another translation that says we are God's masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are special. We are God's handiwork as Christians created in Christ for something good. Something good that God has already prepared for you. In other words, here's the destination of your life. Here's what your life should look like. God has a plan or a path for you, but you may be thinking, well, I wish I had a clue of what that path was. I've asked God a lot of times, should I turn left or right when I come to a fork in the road? What does this look like? What is this destination going to be? And maybe you pray out, Lord, can you help me? Can you give me a sign? And I should have put up that meme. You've probably all seen that meme that says, Lord, give me a sign, but the car has ran into the sign. And then the guy walks in, the pedestrian, and the sign falls and hits the pedestrian on the head too. And that's sort of how God is with me, I think, when I ask him for a sign and he hits me with it. And it's like, how big do I have to make this sign for you, Mike? Because sometimes you're an idiot. He's not wrong, right? Sometimes I do know what the Lord wants. I do know what the Lord desires. And I still choose my own path. And I think that's what a lot of us do. And we hope and we pray that God will just bless the path that I chose. I think sometimes that I got to get over myself. Maybe that's the idea for 2024. Get over ourselves and get to truly following God, because God does have a plan. Now, how do we know that plan? Well, I think we look back to Proverbs. Solomon talks about this plan in forms of relationships. He does that in Proverbs 7 and 8 are all about relationships. Solomon tells this young man who's wandering down the road beside the home of an adulterous woman. He establishes a relationship with that woman because she likes him. She wants him, and that seems like a pretty good idea to him. She makes him feel good. You kind of have to be wondering, as this young man's walking down the road and this beautiful woman steps out the door and starts hitting on him, he's got to think that's a pretty good Thursday, right? That's not a bad day. This must be destiny. And if you ask this young man if he was religious at all, he might have said, yeah. And God put this woman in place to meet her. And a couple of things that she says that we haven't looked at yet, but she tells the young man that she's just came back from fulfilling her vows, from having a fellowship offering to God there that her own. So verse 14 there of chapter 7, she's just returned from fulfilling her vows to God, has a fellowship offering to God at her home. You come here and enjoy this fellowship offering that I have for God. This boy, he could be thinking that this is a religious experience. Would God want me to be with this woman who appears to be so religious? And that's sort of what adultery does, right? That's sort of what adulterous people start to do, is they try to convince others and really convince themselves that they're doing this, and it feels right, so it's good. It must come from a good place. And a lot of people, that's how they try and understand what God is doing, is based on whether or not it feels good to them. And that's a really bad indicator of what God desires, what feels good to you. You just imagine, or could you imagine, asking the crucified Christ on the cross, do those nails feel good, Jesus? I think he would say, no, these nails hurt really bad. But this is God's will. Just because something feels good doesn't mean that God has endorsed it or that God is involved in all. In fact, quite possibly, it could be the exact opposite and just be all about us and whatever feels good to us. And that can be a pretty big problem in and of itself. People who think that they stumble upon relationships, that it must be God's will that two people are brought together, sometimes in reality, it's not that way. They've stumbled into a relationship sometimes because they didn't start out being concerned with what God is concerned about. They weren't on the right path to begin with. And so they didn't bother to look for insight. None of us should make the preconceived or a perceived destination that we've arrived at on this path of life. Don't mistake that destination for a divine plan from God just because you've arrived there and you think that it's good. It doesn't mean that it's godly good. It is true that all that wander are not lost. I think we've all heard that saying, and it's a good one. I like that because I like to roam and meander around when I have some free time. It is true that not all who wander are lost, but it's also true those who find are the ones who seek, right? When we just sang that song, and that's a scriptural song. Scripture never tells us, hey, you know what? Just go wander around out there and you're gonna find God. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added to you. That's the goal, right? That's how we walk in this life, is we first seek the kingdom of God. So back to Proverbs 8 real quick as we finish this up. And I want to read it from the Message paraphrase, because sometimes the Message paraphrase can hit you in a different way than some other readings. And so here's how the Message does Proverbs 8. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She takes her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection, right in the city square where the traffic is thickest. She shouts, you, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here on the streets. Listen, you idiots. Learn good sense, you blockheads, shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. The thing is, Solomon here is telling us is that godly wisdom is really not that hard to find. And sometimes I say it, sometimes maybe you've said it, that man, I have asked God, I have sought for an answer, and I just haven't heard from him. I've wondered about where I need to go in life, and God has never given me any direction. I kind of question that a little bit. So Solomon seems to be saying that wisdom is standing at the corner calling us blockheads. The problem is not that wisdom is being quiet. The problem is that our ears a lot of times aren't listening. We're missing all of those signposts that God is putting along the way that says, this way, here's where life can lead. Here's the path to follow for life. Here's the path to follow for the right kind of destination. And when you don't know which way to go, it's simple. You can ask. And I know as a man that can be a difficult thing to do, to ask for directions, but spiritually speaking, that's exactly what you should be doing. When you don't know, you should ask. James 1:5 tells us that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Maybe you've been rebuked in your families for asking questions. Maybe in past religious experiences, you've been rebuked for asking questions. I think that's unfortunate, and I think that's sad, because questions should never be off limits, especially in a spiritual setting. I don't think God will ever rebuke anyone for asking a question. Never will we hear God say, that's a stupid question. You need to know where to go, right? You need to ask God. You want to know what path is before you? You need to ask God. Look for him to make sure that the path you're on is right, because it's really easy to get off that path, right? It's easy to take a veer off and end up at some point and you wonder how you ended up where you did. You use that as an opportunity to see if that's a U-turn. Do I need to make a left or a right to get back on the path? What do I need to do here? Give me a sign, God. That's what we ask sometimes. I think here's the thing as we finish up, what we need to learn and accept, and I'm struggling with it day by day. But we were all made by God. And we were all made for God. And I think until we can fully grasp that, life doesn't ever really make a whole lot of sense. And it won't make sense because the destination won't be clear. But whenever you understand that you were made by God and you were made for God, in that only in God that we can discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and even that D word, even our destiny, in God, we will have a path that is clear for how to live. Now, all the way through, that path can be difficult, but it will get us to the right place. And taking that path will also bless all those people we meet along the way. That's the path I want. A path that not only ends us up in heaven, that's a good and that's a wonderful thing. And I hope every single one of us in here this morning ends up in heaven. But I'm a little bit more concerned with every one of us bringing a little bit of heaven to this earth, to this town, to this community. And so I think starting in 2024, I pray that every step that we take can be seen as praising God. So that other people can't notice that there's something special that's happening in your walk, and it's not because of something you're doing, it's because of God. And so this morning, whatever steps you need to take, whether that's putting on in Christ in baptism, that Christ came and lived his life and was sacrificed to be raised up anew in 3 days, to be baptized into him. Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation in some way. Whatever your need may be, please come as together we stand and we sing.